The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Darren Owen, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Gareth Topham in the studio. Three jumps meetings to look forward to domestically with Stratford, Weatherby and Wincanton. There's also some good racing on the flat from Ireland as well with a good card at the Curragh, and we'll bring you some of that action as well on Sunday. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Before we look ahead to Sunday's stuff, Mick, let's just have a quick look at some of the news. And obviously a lot of the news centres around Saturday's racing, which hasn't happened yet as we record this. So we'll have to just talk about stuff that we can. And an interesting match-up possibly at Punchestown. We've seen the Scottish champion hurdle on Saturday, and maybe might enter yours one, we don't know. That would frank the form for Jeski from the Cheltenham champion hurdle. And we've got one coming up at Punchestown where we're likely to see Jeski and Hurricane Fly battle it out there. So that's an exciting racing prospect, isn't it?
Absolutely. Let's hope the champion hurdle form gets a timely boost on Saturday. I mean, the Cheltenham form stood up really well at the entry Grand National meeting, didn't it? Exceptionally well. And that augurs well for the champion hurdle form as well. Yes, Jeski, it did look a different horse with the hood on, didn't he? He was settled, was relaxed. He was given a pitch of a ride by Geraghty. Having said that, I think I wouldn't be at all surprised Geraghty kept the ride, because he just doesn't seem to like McCoy, does he, for some reason?
Yeah.
But Geraghty certainly got the tune out of him, and it'll be the same story for me with him confirming his superiority over the rest of them.
Yeah, he's reporting good form, and I think the hood was key to him at the festival, wasn't it?
Definitely.
Just helped him settle that a little bit better. And I think to be fair, Hurricane Fly is going to have a tough task now with the younger horses coming through. And I think this year's champion hurdle just showed, I mean, what a great horse he's been, but he's at his age now, he's going to struggle, isn't he?
Absolutely, he has. And, he'll still run his race, won't he? But,
yeah.
As you say, the younger brigade are just coming along all the time, and he's going to find life tougher at the sharp end.
Yes, so we've got that to look forward to in the coming weeks. More jumps racing to end the season. We've also got plenty of flat racing coming up, and that should get interesting after Saturday with a few more classic clues. But we're going to move on to Sunday's action and some good jumping to look forward to domestically, and we're going to go to Weatherby for mixed selections.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Good card at Weatherby, Mick.
Yes, there is. Plenty of runners at Weatherby on Sunday. I've had a look at three races, the first of them being the 3:15, 2.5 mile novices handicap chase. It's a limited handicap, 11.8 the top weight, Diocles, and 10 stone 3 the bottom one. I've had a look at two or three of the runners. I'll go through them in race card order. Number two is Green Wizard, who was trained by Sue Smith. Ryan Mannier taking the ride. He was a fairly useful hurdler, but he looked like making up into a really good chase. He won his first two starts over fences, but then the wheels fell off a little bit and he failed to complete in four of his next six starts. Mm. But that doesn't tell the whole story, because on his penultimate run, he would have probably won at Southwell. He was just coming to challenge. Good jump at the last would have sealed it. And unluckily for him, he capsized again. Mm. And forget the run the next day, because it was just too quick after the fall, and he hadn't got over that. He's had a month to put that behind him, and he would certainly have a chance on that Southwell run. So he's definitely not out of this, Green Wizard, despite those unpromising looking form figures. Dreamy George, he looked well worth his mark of 1-2-1. He's got a leading chance, and this is first handicap. He was a very good point to pointer. And he really has improved with each of his starts over the big fences. He was left clear at Fakenham last month, but he would have won that. Anyways, coming back half a mile in trip, but he has won over this trip, so I don't think that's going to be a big problem for him. I think he's going to be very hard to beat, and he gets the vote. The other one of interest in the race for me is Deciding Moment, trained by Ben DeHaan. Jack Doyle is taking the ride. He's still unexposed, this horse. He's definitely got races in him off around this sort of mark. He's very lightly raced recently. Hadn't run for an awful long time before that run at Newbury last month. That was his first start since winning on his seasonal reappearance at Wincanton. And that Newbury run should have blown the cobwebs away. And I don't think he's out of this. But I do think Dreamy George has been found another good winning opportunity in that 3.15 for John Ferguson and Dennis O'Regan.
OK, Dreamy George then in the 3.15, moving on to the 4.20 next. And this is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles and one furlong, nine of them in the lineup. And shall we start here with Nod Form, Richard Mick, who comes here in winning form and likely to be somewhere near the top of the betting?
Yeah, he backed up in a Catterick race in December that he'd won before. And but he does litter good performances with bad performances. And I'm just going to oppose him because he's never won off a mark this high. Having said that, it's not that strong a contest, and it wouldn't be at all surprising if he was good enough to defy this career high mark. But it just worries me, his inconsistency, a little bit. And it's asking a lot for him to back up, especially after 130 days off. So I don't know why he's been... But he can win after an absence. I don't know why he's been off, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The one I like here is Ballypatrick, the top weight. Brian Harding taking the ride for Mick Shannon. Gavin Sheehan's been on board his last few starts. And he's made the frame in all of his three starts in 2014. And that race at Newbury, when he finished a close-up fourth, was given a boost by the third going in and winning next time. And despite the fact that he's got top weight, I do think the opposition is beatable, and I'm going to give him the vote. There are a couple of potential lurkers, though. Down at the bottom, James Reevely rides Everard for Phil Kirby. He's fairly well exposed, but he does win in his turn. He's won 7 of his 36 career starts and been placed on another 7 occasions as well. He's in really good form at present over hurdles and fences, and he won't be far away, and he's getting plenty of weight off Ballypatrick. And the other one down at the bottom there is Royal Sam, who he's got the cheap pieces added to his tongue tie, which he wore at Hexham last time when he didn't run too badly in third. He's still a maiden after 21 starts, but he often went close when trained in Ireland, and he was rated 116 at his best in Ireland, and he's in here off 99. Be a modest race if he can win it, but he's a player. But I do think Ballypatrick is probably... That'd be better than them.
Okay, Ballypatrick then in the 4.20 and the 5.30 at Wetherby is the final race we're going to look at. This is a Class 5 handicap chase over 2.5 miles and a competitive 11-runner handicap chase.
Yeah, definitely. I think Lord Fox is going to be popular, but he was beaten a fairly long way off of this mark last time. But at least he did manage to bag a couple of races off marks of 84 and 91. Just maybe signs that busy spell's caught up with him last time. But again, this is a race that probably won't have too many serious contenders, and he certainly makes the shortlist. I'm going to give the vote, though, to Big News, who's got uninspiring form figures if you look at them. But he's often well backed, this horse, so he's obviously highly regarded. Mm. He's trained by the wily Richard Lee, and that last run... A much more promising effort in Force Lass. And he's quite well handicapped, you know. Compared to his mark when he started chasing, he had a fairly stiff mark in the hundreds, 115, 16, something like that, when he first started chasing. He's back to a winnable mark. He's got the right trainer, two cooks, him back to his best, Paul Maloney in the saddle, and Big News gets the vote. Another one, too, in worthy of mention in the race is Roseville Cottage, who was beaten miles in all of his previous starts in bumpers and hurdle races, but a lot better last time in a Class 4 event at Sedgefield on his chasing debut, and suggesting to me that maybe he's going to leave that modest form prior now that he's going chasing, and he may make up into a better chaser than he did a hurdler, and he's off the right end of the market with a mark of 90 to exploit that. I'll be keeping a close eye on him, Rosewell Cottage, but I do think that Big News is the one to be with.
Okay, Big News then in the 5:30. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections for Sunday then, Mick.
Yeah, they're all over fences, Mark, the 3:15. I think Dreamy George is in good form at the moment, and I do think that mark of 1-2-1 won't be beyond him for his handicap debut. In the 4:20, Ballypatrick's been running well enough in good company to warrant support and defy top weight in that 4:20 for Mick Shannon and Brian Harding. And there were definite signs that Big News is on the way back last time. And Richard Lee, just the right trainer to coax improvement out of horse who'd been in the doldrums, and he runs in the 5:30.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's racing at Wetherby. You'll hear it on Racing Radio. Alongside that, we have Stratford and Wincanton. We'll be live from 1:40 p.m. and it'll be Darren Owen, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Gareth Topham in the studio. So plenty of racing to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.